World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Friday morning, the fifth day of December 2025. Lord's not making another one. Let us all run with patience today the race that is set before us, with Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith. Doing communion, so I'll give you a few seconds there to get you some of the elements before Joe comes in. And man, oh man, I set off a bomb. I shared it with you yesterday, pulled up there real quickly. Is religion destroying Christianity? I don't know if you guys have really taken the time to read that. Oh my goodness, did the religious folk come out of, they came out of the closet, man. I'm telling you. People are so loyal to their denomination, and they can't even see it. And they don't understand. It's comical, really. It's sad, but it's comical. We can understand that if we're Lutheran and we're following the Lutheran doctrine, we are saying the Baptists are wrong. We don't understand that. And if I'm a Baptist and I'm following the Baptist doctrine, then I'm saying the Church of Godders are wrong. You get it? They can't even see it, right? They can't even see it. One Lord, one faith. One baptism, isn't that what? So some guy got really mad at me because I said there's 45,000 different denominations. And I took it off of Wikipedia. And, of course, I agree, Wikipedia's not a very good source. So, I said, okay, how about 20,000? How about 10,000? I mean, what's a good number of denominations? Right? You do all remember this, don't you? Yeah, Joe, there's all kinds of Lutherans. Remember when they started house to house? Isn't that somewhere in the book of Acts? Started house to house. And Christianity is a relationship, folks. It's a relationship, not a religion, not a set of rules and regulations. It's a relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and my brothers and my sisters who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And somewhere along the line, we put all these rules and regulations in there, and do's and don'ts. And you do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign? Boy, I'm telling you, I got a lot of people mad at me. And Joe, you know what I think? I think most of them are pastors. Be honest, because they write me these real long emails. Makes you want to laugh, right? I said, okay, so just walking downtown, walking your downtown, stand in the middle of your downtown and see how many churches you see. Okay, well, what Wikipedia says, every church on that corner in your downtown are all doing something different. Every one of them, and nobody working together. It's crazy. So I like coming here because I call this a religious free zone, meaning I don't know. I'm willing to discuss it. Are you willing to discuss it? And here's what it is. Some of you say you claim the Bible says that I believe in that settles it. But then when we talk about something that's counter to what you believe, you leave. Take your ball and go home. Somebody give me a thumbs up. So I want you to know right now, you do not have to agree with me. You don't have to agree with me. Bible says that I believe that settles it. That's a malarkey. Whoever brought that line up is a lie. Because there's certain parts of the Bible that you believe and certain parts that you don't believe. Okay, cool. We're all on the same page. And much of it is, the scripture says, foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Foolish, unlearned questions avoid. Why? For the engender strife. The church spends more time arguing amongst themselves than they do the real enemy. It's like when I was a kid growing up. My mom hated snow days. Why did she hate snow days? Because everybody was home. All five of us were home. And all we did was fight. We were the same family. We loved each other. But boy, you put us in a room and it was war. It's the same thing denominationally. I'm just telling you. So I want to throw that on as a jumping off spot, because I'm going to jump into something else here that might make some of you a little bit uncomfortable with your theological position. So I'll give you a warning right now. What I'm going to talk about today may not line up with your theology. So you can stay if you want to. If you just want to hug your theology, go ahead. We're going to throw this piece of meat on the table. We're going to chew it up, and we're going to try to come to some type of revelation about it. In the meantime, my good buddy Joe Scarico, clear out in California. He used to be way over someplace else, and now he's clear out in California. It's 4:06 out there, and Joe got up this morning to help us lead through communion. So, Joe, God bless you, man. Come on in.
Thank you, Coach. My most recent European address was in Denmark.
Denmark.
Yeah.
That ain't California, Joe.
that isn't California, but some aspects are rather similar. But it ain't California.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Well, anyway, it feels like California here sometimes, but I'm in a conservative county, so at least that's a good thing. Now, the reading this morning is 1 Corinthians.
I got to stop you, Joe. You understand right now we're going to bring division, because not everybody thinks this is how you do communion. You understand that, don't you? Right?
Well, this is how I do it.
Okay. Just want to make sure we're all not on the same page here.
Well, I'll just make a statement here. The reason I do the readings is to have something about what was done for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Something relating to Christ and why he was here. Mm-hmm. And then I read, have that reading, and then I say our prayer, and then I do communion. And maybe it's different, that maybe people don't like it, and I apologize, they don't like it, but it's just that I feel Holy Spirit hits me when I do it this way, so I don't think I'm on the wrong track with that.
You don't think Jesus is sitting up there saying, boy, Joe, you did a really nice job of communion, but that's not really how we do it. You don't really? He's up there.
That's really not how we do it.
Huh? Would, yeah, it be so like would it be like your five-year-old grandson coming to you and handing you a picture that doesn't even make any sense? And you look at that picture, oh, get out of here, you dummy. Or do you stick it up on your refrigerator?
Oh, can I introduce my bride?
Sure.
Oh, y'all. Hello.
You made her get up at 4 in the morning too, Joe. Are you
kidding? Actually, I get up at 3 a.m. and get up to pray. Been doing it forever.
Wow.
And so, but I'm always on the call. I'm just on the back.
Awesome.
Here. So
thanks for getting up out there.
Thank you for your ministry. God bless you.
Yeah, sorry I yell so much.
I get it.
Some of us need it, Coach. That's why you do it.
I'm a coach, dude. I'm a coach. Some guys you put your arm around, and some guys you get in their face. It just ain't the same, right?
Yeah, and Taylin is an athlete, and used to also be a coach. So,
and all my coaches are what kicked me into being the best of.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, God bless. So I get it.
Thanks for being there. All right, Joe. Let's roll here, bro. I'll catch you up. My bad.
Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we... producer, if you could.
Spencer's asleep.
You know, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality.
Mm.
So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law.
Wow.
But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the
work for the Lord. Okay? The work of the Lord, okay?
Yeah, it's not the vacation. It's the work.
No, it is your work.
For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain.
Labor's work, isn't it, Joe? Isn't that work?
Oh, yeah, and yesterday was a real bugger. But I got through it, and we had a win, but it was a real bugger.
So, folks, you don't go to heaven by works. But when you go to heaven, you ought to have some works.
Otherwise, you know, the Budweiser section, as our pastor says.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, again we come to you with gratitude in our hearts. We know you are working in our lives. We see your winks all the time. We don't believe in coincidence, Lord. We know it's you showing us favor and blessing when we notice the things happening in our lives. And sometimes it seems sort of amazing that this happened, that happened, or that this license plate pulled in front of us just when we're thinking about something like that. All these different things to let us know that you are thinking of us. And we know that you speak to us each maybe in a little bit different way. But you're so amazing you can do that. Somebody who's in technology might say, wow, what an algorithm you have. Well, you're just amazing, Lord. We can only try. We cannot really comprehend, but we try. We can't comprehend. And we are grateful. And we are grateful for this time of the year, for we just had the one holiday that isn't corrupted yet. And I don't think will be, because the country is changing. And we thank you for that, Lord. We're getting back to our roots. This immoral minority that has been taking over the country is being pushed back, Lord. And we just want truth to come out, because the truth is setting us free and will set us free, just as your word says. And we're so grateful for your word. We ask that when we study it and read it and listen to it, that we sharpen our swords, that we write your word on our heart, and that we imprint it on our minds so we can recall it at will, Lord. And I know that some out there are having aches and pains, probably all of us, especially if you're getting into the retirement age. But let us receive the real cure, the real healing, the real medicine. The best doctor in the world is our Lord Jesus Christ, because he just makes it go away. And let's receive from him our healings with this communion. Let this be the meal that heals. Receive our healings that he has gifted to us, paid in advance 2,000 years ago, predicted hundreds of years before, prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah 53:5. And that's one of those verses they don't read in synagogues, because they don't like to point to the direction of the truth in the synagogues. And so we're thankful for communion, Lord. We ask that you forgive us our sins and transgressions and bring us cleansed into your sight. We ask that you bless this bread and drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that was shed for us. And we ask that you send your protecting and guarding and guiding angels to us all, to our families. Help us be safe and help us to walk the path you would have us walk. Help us to be who you would want us to be and to be your real ambassadors here, to represent you wherever we go, to retake territory with every step that we take. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go take a nap, Joe. Thanks for getting up. Amen. Hey, I want real quickly, want to tip my cap. Christy Henderson was here yesterday doing some errands and stuff for us around Sky High fellowship time. We took her to Didymy Steve Deck, and just want to publicly thank Christy for coming and doing that. And I had lunch yesterday with Dr. Bruce Evans. I just had a great lunch with Dr. Bruce. And you know what? Something that really came upon me, and I'm not trying to expose Dr. Bruce or anyone, but I don't want anybody to take it wrong. There are a lot of people out there who are really, really isolated, feel alone. Am I the only one? I'm not saying this is what Bruce said. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Don't take that wrong. But you would have to admit, wouldn't you, that those of us who are in this queue, we're a different breed, aren't we? Maybe we're not of a different breed, but we're of a different ilk, certainly. And the truth is, many of us, many of you, are struggling for fellowship. You're getting rejected when you go to your church. Nobody gets what's going on. They don't want to hear it. They go the other way. The pastor goes the other way when you come. And you are so hungry for somebody that you can fellowship with who gets it. Would anybody say amen out there? Oh, wait, anybody feeling that way?
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
I love this place.
So I began to ask myself, Bruce and I had the great lunch and fellowship, I was driving home, and I said to myself, how many guys are there like that? You know, the Bible says we're to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. But see, assemble doesn't mean gather together in the same place all the time, every Sunday. You have an assembly at your church. But come on, let's be honest here. You don't even know most of the people you go to church with, not intimately. You don't really know them. There are little cliques in your churches, and maybe you have these friends and that friend. But for the most part, especially if you're a Coach Dave Liver, especially if you're somebody who's awake to what's going on in the culture, and especially if you're someone who believes that we're the salt of the earth, and we're supposed to do something about what's going on in the culture, you're probably pretty much alone. Would somebody give me an amen or a thumbs up on that one? People don't, the old friends don't want to deal with you anymore. They go a different direction. What happened to Uncle Dave? What do I mean? Right? That reality of it, that's where we are. That's really where we are. And I don't know what we do. I'm guessing kind of yelling out there to Glenn and whoever else. But we have got to, I've dropped the ball. You know, we started that, I never really firmed it up real good, the Saturday Night Live things at Mel's. I'm telling you this, folks. We have got to begin to do that. We've got to begin to do it. Because our brothers in this queue need fellowship. They need fellowship. Some of you guys in this queue, I hate to say you guys, with this group, there are people out there who might be the answer to your prayer as far as relationships and things that could develop. And it's great that we do it here, but there's a difference. When I was with Bruce yesterday, there's a difference when I'm looking eyeball to eyeball with a guy. There's a difference. There's a fellowship that happens.
Amen.
And I'm just saying this to Glenn or whoever's listening out there. We have got to make it a priority, man. We've got to begin to get together. Friends, I ain't trying to build another church. That's the last thing we need is another church. It's the last thing. But we need to get together and eat a piece of pizza and look each other in the eye and get the frustrations out. Know that we have somebody that cares about us and somebody that kind of is leaning in the same direction. I think it's really, really important that we do that. So Glenn or whoever, I'm not picking on you, Glenn. We need to get our heads together. We need to have a leadership meeting, and we need to begin to take this a little bit more seriously. Folks, we don't want to be your church. By the way, this is your church for the most part. You probably admit it. This is your church. Well,
I have some thoughts, Coach. I'll follow up with you.
Okay. I think it's, folks, I think it's important. And Randy and Dave and Sherry and all, you got to figure out a way to gather people together. You're going to have to do it. Because I'm telling you, there are more and more people who love Jesus, and they're not plugged in with any church. They can't stand it. They don't go to church, and that's my heart. That's my heart. And I'm glad you're here, and the fellowships, the relationships that are being built here. But what about where you live? How many other people are there out there? Maybe it's only 5. Maybe it's only 10. Who are the people that you need to come together with? When the shit hits the fan in your neighborhood, in your community, who are you going to lean on? And we don't even know who they are, do we? You guys know who they are? I don't even know who they are. I think I can count on Blake. I think old Mike might show up and help me. I mean, you get what I'm saying? Hell, Steve Deck would drive clear across the country to help. I get that. But right where I am, right where you are, when the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. Do you see that day approaching? To assemble, look, friends, to assemble doesn't mean gather together. Now, I like to use this phrase coming up on the Christmas season. The worst words you ever heard, when I ever heard, when my children were growing up, was when I opened up the Christmas gift that I got them. They put it under the tree. They opened it up, and it's a contraption, and it says some assembly required. And I came to understand that doesn't mean put all the parts in the box. Church, don't just put all the parts in the church. Each part does something. And when you open up, remember we had the erector sets? Anybody remember erector sets but me? You put it together. You had all the parts. You were assembling it. And we've traded just gathering together for assembling. And it's not the same, friends. It is not the same. It's not the same. So I'm really, the Lord really, really impressed upon me that I got to get off my butt, whatever, whoever. Look at that. There's the erector set. Anybody remember that? Huh? All the parts are there. Just there's a big old church sitting right there, but it isn't functioning. It isn't doing anything. Parts are all laying in there. And I believe that's what the church has become. Ray, go ahead, man. You got your hand up.
Yeah. To continue with what you're saying here, I'm thinking about the body itself and all the different body parts. There's some of them that aren't as glamorous as other parts, but they're very functional and they're very needy. They don't get the recognition that other parts of the body might get. And that's the same thing with when you are gathering together a fellowship. Like we got about up to 20 people that gather in our fellowship. And a lot of them are just like David's ragtag group of warriors that really don't have a lot to offer, and they need a place to fellowship. Yep. They need somebody that cares for them. And, you know, they might not give a lot, but the purpose for them being there is for those that do have to give into their lives and to let them know that they are important as well, you know. And yes. Then we have others that are good influencers that are strong in the faith. So that mix is important as it is in the body, I believe. So,
but Ray, not only that, folks, everybody in that, what you call it, a fellowship, call it whatever you want to, everybody in that ought to be like an octopus. They ought to have hands and legs going out to other people that they are gathering and connecting with. It's a web. This is the way this thing is supposed to operate. It's not just a place where you come on Sunday morning, everybody gathers together, see you next week. And they come back next week, you don't have any idea what's going on in their life. Maybe they need prayer. Maybe they can offer prayer. Maybe they can repair something for you. I mean, it's relational. See, it's supposed to be relational.
Also, on top of that, because you've made that relationship, if you're in a problem, like we had some that came in, and when they left, their car broke down, and they're stranded somewhere. Who are you going to call? Well, I'll call Ray. I just was there with him, and I made a connection with him. I'm sure he'll do it. He'll help me out. So, you know, that's how it works.
Amen. Amen. And so as I said, with the commentary I wrote yesterday, I pointed out that hierarchical system. Folks, that is not Christianity. That's not Christianity. They met from house to house. Well, you say, well, Coach Dave, they met from house to house because they didn't have cars. They didn't have cable TV. That's why they met. No, dude. Christianity is relational. Relationships. And I think if you would be really, really honest, if we all would be really, really honest, if you go to a church, I don't care how big it is, your relationships are very few.
Yeah.
Very few. No matter how big that church is, you got maybe three or four people you know, but for the most part, there ain't no relationship or fellowship in that church. I'm not a church basher. That's not what I'm trying to do. We're the church. We are the body. All right? Man, I got so much stuff that I want to get into today. I'm going to camp here a minute. What do you think, folks? Look, how can Coach Dave live help you guys expand your territory? Now, look, you don't have to become Pastor Ray, but someplace where people can gather together, just the simplicity of one Christian ministering to another Christian, carrying one another's burdens, let them know they have somebody that matters to them, not their church. Because really, at your church, whatever that means, there might be one or two people there that you trust and know, but for the most part, that ain't a body. That is not a body. Not really. Not really. It's a congregation. But that ain't a body. You're supposed to be a body. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And the last thing I want to be is sit here and be in charge of everything that's going on. Dude, with the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Whatever the Lord says to you, do it. And I'm willing to help. I'll do whatever I can do to help. Is it money? I'll raise money here. I'll get these people to help. Is it money? Is it money? You think about churches. What's the first thing a guy wants to do when he starts a church? You don't have to tell me because I'm going to tell you. Build a building. And all the money goes into the building. And then when he builds the building, then he has to pay the maintenance on the building. And so he's in the process of bringing customers because his business needs money. Hey, anybody say amen other than me? Yeah, look, I'm not being critical of them. That's what that does to you. That building becomes a burden. And the church says it's house to house. Dale, come on in, Dale. You're not mad at me. I know you're not mad at me. I'm not talking about you. Go ahead.
I've been around to either that. I'm the most dumbest person on the face of the earth because I've been here for a long time. So, Coach, you know, one of the things, you know, just kind of came to me, you know, I do pastor. We do have a building, but I can tell you, kind of like what Ray's got going on, we Everybody now, you don't
have some big monstrosity of a building.
So. No, Coach, you lose all connection right there. I totally agree with that. I believe that even Christ, even in the monks when thousands followed it, always got back down to the other 12 or 11 eventually. But Coach, let me put it to you this way. I think it might be nice. I think that when we come here in this group, there are differences of opinions, even on, you know, the eschatologies, right? Yeah. There's differences of opinions, but we stay with the fellowship. Somehow or another, we get to our local level here and you're, you know, okay, I'm going to establish some fellowship. We think that we all have to be alike. In other words, what happens here, you got to open yourself up that people are going to disagree with you. Yes, you know me, Coach. I know all of my neighbors, and I promise you, not all of them agree. We see things eye to eye. But boy, let me tell you what, when the crap hits the fan, I am in a good place. Even Andrew is telling me, he goes, man, that's amazing. You know your neighbors like you really know your neighbors. I said, yeah, we don't all agree, but we don't break fellowship over those little things.
Amen, brother.
The people here have such a platform to understand what has kept you here, even though you don't agree with everybody here. That's what you do locally. And even in my church, Coach, I'm going to tell you something. I've got pre, post, mids, the whole nine yards, and I don't care because that don't mean nothing about the fellowship. And when it goes down and things go bad, let me tell you what, Coach, you live 800, 700 miles from me. I can't expect you to be here. I can't expect that my neighbor will be here, you know. So on Thanksgiving this year, Coach, our power went out. Right? A power went out, right? I got neighbors all around me. You know what I did? I walked outside and I started looking for my neighbors who might have needed electricity that I'd run extension cords or bring generators to their house. That's what you do in the local community. You don't have to start something and say you have to believe just like I believe, because then you fall in the same trap as the big church, the cookie cutter church. I just wanted to share that, Coach, because you've already built that platform. We all don't have to agree, but we do not break fellowship.
And Dale, see this idea that it's about size? Come on, man. Come on, man. It's not about size. A lot of the people that come into some of these churches come because they can hide. They can hide. You go to Dale Socia's church. You go to, I could give you some others. You're missing. They know it. Because there ain't that many people there, right? In other churches, you can hide. Because church is supposed to be a relationship. Look, I don't want to be a church basher. I just want to see the body of Christ come to life. That's what I'm. We're so disjointed. Come on, ML.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. You know, I think we might want to change the name from Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live sounds like this big production thing. Yeah. You know, I think House to House might be a better, or Home to Home, or, you know, something like that, because that really sounds like something that anybody could do. You just invite some friends in that are local, and, you know, especially people from this group. Like if I were working with Glenn and, you know, some of the Ohio people wanted to get together, you know, maybe we could rotate homes from time to time. Yeah. Like, I think that might be more of what the Bible says too. So
I agree. I agree. See, marketing campaign, Saturday Night Live, kind of a marketing thing, right? That's not really what it's about, is it? It's not really, although it is on Saturday night and we are live. And we want you to take that life back to your local fellowship if you're part of one. Look, I'm not trying to steal sheep. Truth is, I'm trying to gather sheep. There's some of you out there that are all by yourself. Anybody want to say amen on that? I ain't stealing nobody's sheep. I'm trying to herd them a little bit, trying to give them someplace that they can go and not be alone all the time. And I think many of us feel that way. Joe Allen, come on in.
Well, let's look at it at a marketing tree. You know, everybody, you know, from top down, it spreads out like a Christmas tree. Well, just like we're talking about is homeschooling and also home church. Look at Dale Socia's area where he's at. He started his home gatherings, and now he's got a church just like that. When you can depend on your government, not only just your local area and all that, and when your local government starts improvement, there's that Christmas tree. Why I say that about Dale, his area. Ice walks downtown of Louisiana and everybody greets him. They're not throwing paint at him and ice cubes and throwing and protesting. Ice walks down the main street and they get gathering people welcome. Something's changing in Louisiana.
Well, I think something's changing. I think something's changing everywhere, Joseph. And so I don't know how to paint this picture the right way, but stay with me here for just a second. Have you guys noticed this? That the left, the Luciferian left, whoever they might be, whatever, the godless left, they have no values. And have you noticed how they control us by making us live up to ours? Have you noticed that? And let me use this as an illustration. The blowing up of the boat guys, right? Blowing up of the boat guys. Have you noticed them now? All of a sudden, these Democrats are, well, they're moral. Oh, they're moral now. You can't. How can we be? Well, hell, dude. When in Rome, do as the Romans. Why, at some point, why are they making us live up to our values? First of all, we ought to be doing that on our own. But we can't, hey, it can't be two sets of rules. Can't be two sets of rules. You do whatever the hell you want, and I can't do whatever the hell I want. Make two sets of rules. See, I'm under control of the Holy Spirit. You're under the control of the evil one. Two cannot walk together lest they agree. All right? Now, here's what I think. I don't want to go to this subject. I don't know what happened. Are you telling me that the only reason we can kill those drug guys who are going to kill Americans, the only way we can do that is to give them constitutional rights and get them in a court of law? Is that really where we are? The world's lawless. The American government is lawless. Folks, the same people that are bitching and moaning and complaining about blowing up that trip, those are the same people that made you take a freaking shot. Come on, boom. Here. Huh? Two sets of rules, and they make us live by our rules, and they don't have any rules. I think we got to come to the realization that a lot of that's what we're doing. So no, don't say, Coach Dave, are you approving the slaughter of innocent people? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If Ray LeBlanc and Mark Trump and Glenn Claremont and Joe Allen said, hey, Coach, come with us. I'm a good Christian man. Come with us, Coach. We're going to take some drugs into downtown Chicago. We're going to go in there. We're going to make a big haul. I said, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Come on, man. We'll stop and get a haircut. Okay. And we go into town and somebody blows us all up. Am I innocent because I didn't want to do it? If I didn't want to do it, I sure as hell shouldn't have gotten the boat. That's the way I see it. So, I mean, we can play this morality game up and down, sideways. See, we want to give constitutional rights to people who aren't even Americans. Are they God-given rights? Well, then if they're God-given rights, then let's acknowledge there's a God. But don't tell me there ain't no God and then make me live by God-given rights. Come on, baby. Come on. Quit taking the bait. Quit taking the bait. Aren't you supposed to be a Christian? Yeah. You ought to be glad I am. Because if I wasn't, dude, I'd take you apart piece by piece right here and right now. All right, I'm going to get off of that. I don't want to hear any more. I don't want to talk about it. There are people who are going to be alive next week because that boat got blown up. Anybody disagree with that? If it's my kid, I hope somebody blows up the damn boat. That's kind of where I am. Okay. Oh, I got so many good things I wanted to show. Look. Here's the Spencer. Pull this up for me real quickly, folks. This is a must watch. Okay, Laura Logan. Now I'm not going to play it all. I'm going to play a couple minutes here, and I'm going to put it in the chat. It's only 18 minutes long. Laura Logan tells us what has Coach Dave been saying. That they're going to try to, they're preparing to impeach Trump after the midterms. That's all this stuff. They're trying to build up evidence, all this evidence. And just play a couple minutes and then put it in the chat so you can watch it later on your own. It's really pretty good. Laura Logan with, I forget his name, doesn't matter. Go ahead.
President Trump, he's sort of like a toddler, and there's all these people around him that are doing things to him. He's totally unaware of it, and he's just being manipulated. And he's an incredibly smart person, and I think he can always sort of smell rats, I think. But so I just want to kind of come out and say that, because I feel like people are sort of playing him almost like as like a little bit of a toddler in these situations. What do you think about that? Because here's a guy who will go play golf with Lindsey Graham for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And he knows how much people can't stand him. Lindsey Graham, he knows how much his base can't stand him. So I'm just curious what your take is on that before we dive into some of the pieces that are working against him.
Well, I think you make a very good point, one that I've made often in conversations with people, which is that, you know, everybody, a lot of people will talk about things and say, why doesn't Trump know this? And why doesn't Trump understand this? And my first question is, how do you know he doesn't? And why would you assume that you're so much smarter, right? You know all these things and he doesn't, or you see all these things and he doesn't. Now, there is an issue of how do you get to him? What filters are being put around the president that are restricting information? Like we know, for example, that before the intel agencies withheld information from him and didn't brief him on certain things. We know that the New York Times celebrated, right? They allowed a guy who was removing briefing papers from the president's desk, which is an act of treason and sedition.
Okay, put it in the chat. I won't spend all the time with it, okay? I would just encourage you. She says that the MAC, they are doing, as I said the other day, they're doing everything they can to destroy MAGA. The establishment Republicans are doing everything they can to destroy MAGA. Okay? Make America great, not Donald Trump. The MAGA movement. Make America great again. Okay? Oh, man, the stuff that's been going on. So go ahead and put that in the chat. Coach, where are you going to go, man? I got 1,000 things to talk about. I mean, I'm not struggling. I got a lot of stuff here. Did you guys see this? Point number one real quick. I'm going to take you somewhere. Point number one. Did you guys know that Kamala Harris's organization paid Taylor Swift $130 million for her endorsement? Did you hear what I just said? The Harris campaign paid Taylor Swift $130 million for her endorsement. But people can be bought. Why would they pay her $130 million for endorsement? Because she would get the youth. So they paid her $130 million because she was going to go get the youth. And in the meantime, they killed Charlie Kirk because he was trying to get to the youth. Oh, man. Oh, boy. Okay. Let me go. This has been on my heart. I only got 15 minutes. Oh, do I have time? Poem number 7 real quick. Number 7. Hebrews. This goes back to what we were just talking about. Look, then I got some good stuff. I'm going to shut up a minute. I want to hear from you. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Stop a minute. Friends, it ain't rules following. It ain't by your works. It ain't any of that. By the blood of Jesus, period. Now, when you receive Christ as your Savior, there should be a change. And there ought to be works. Because when you go before the Lord, he's going to, well, I'll get there in a second. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we have an evil conscience, right? And let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And let us consider one another to provoke one another, relationship, the love and good works, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Remember, not just gathering together, not just going and getting in your big 5,000 member church, the actual assembling of the body together. Ray, I don't care if you only have 10 people. Assemble that body together in a function, as a form of a functioning body. To do what? Exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We should be assembling ourselves together. It's the heart of the gospel, man. It's the heart of the gospel. Okay, here's, do I have time? I got 15 minutes. Let me send you out on the weekend on this one, okay? Pull up for stuff's not in order over here. I'm sorry. What happens when you die? Pull up number two. What happens when you die? How many of you go to funeral and absent for the body, present with the Lord? Is, oh, he's in a better place and yada, 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 yada. What really happens when you die? What really happens when we die? So I'm going to do this little study with you real quickly. And because people have had near-death experiences, right? And they explain what it's like in this near-death experience. It's wonderful music and yada, yada, yada. But there's a very important term that they're missing. Near-death. Not death. Not death. Near-death. What happens to you when you die? Now, this gets into denominationalism. What happens to you when you die? You're made up of three parts: body, soul, spirit. Body, you know what your body is. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's your personality. It's who you are. It's your consciousness. That's your soul. And your spirit is the life-breathing breath of God. Right? So when you die, your spirit returns to God. I can show you scripturally. The life, the breath of life returns to God. The body goes into the grave and rots. What happens to the soul? To you, the mind, the will, and the mind. Oh, grandma's in. I can't wait to go to heaven and see grandma. What? So where does the soul go when a person dies? Okay. Hang here with me a second. Millions believe the soul possesses a natural immortality. Not even one time in the Bible is the soul referred to as being immortal or undying. According to God's word, man is mortal. Only God is immortal. Immortality will be given to the man only at the second coming of Christ and not at death. Okay? Say with me, Lord. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. This talks about the rapture. But evidently, some people sleep. And then what it says? Not all sleep. But all of it's going to be changed. In a moment, twinkling an eye, at the last trumpet. It's not your last trumpet, it's like the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead, what? Will be raised. But they're in heaven. For this corruptible must put on the incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Solomon the wise described what happens at death. Then shall the dust return to the earth, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And since death is the opposite of life. So what happens when you die? Life returns to God. He gave it to you. The spirit of life, it's gone. The body goes into the grave. Now we know there's a resurrection. We get all that. I understand how all that happens. But what happens to the soul? Where does the soul go? And what have they told us? All of us, most of us, all of us. Well, when you die, you're absent with the body, present with the Lord. Yeah, but in what state? In what state? Right now, see, I think this is important that we grasp this. I don't think my mom and dad are sitting up there looking down at me, watching me. I don't think that. Let's look at what happens in creation. Genesis, and the Lord formed man, dust of the earth, breathed in breath of life, and man became a living soul. Soul is simply the conscious life. Scroll down, Spencer. I'm going to go quickly through this. Look, I'm not going to take time to go through all this, okay? Because they call it soul sleep. Remember when Jesus showed up and to raise Lazarus, and his sister said, oh, no, he's dead. He'll stink. He said, no, he's not dead. Only sleepy. Right? So to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord in a state that we don't understand. It doesn't say I'm alive in this state. It doesn't say I'm walking around shaking hands with my grandma and grandpa. It doesn't say that. It just says this. When you die, you're in the presence of the Lord. But what happens? Somebody help me. Revelation 21. Bring that up. Bring that up. Where is, did I have that as alone? Scroll on down here, Spencer. Clear that. No, you can stay right there. Go 21:8. I'm trying to coach you here a little bit. I don't care what you feel. I don't care. Huh? He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and all whoremongers and sorcerers and all idolaters and all liars shall have their place in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's the second death. Let's go back up the top, Spencer. Back up, oh, that way you are. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first passed away, and I John the Holy City above, and heard a great voice out of heaven, behold, the tabernacle of God's with men. He would dwell with them, and yada, yada, yada. And so there's going to be the great white throne. Hey, Ray, what happens at the great white throne judgment? Is it good? I'm not picking on you, Ray. I just see you there. What happens?
Yeah, we're all going to be judged at the throne for our works.
Who will? Who will, Ray?
The believers.
Everybody will be.
Well, I think there was two throne judgments, isn't there?
And I saw the holy city in New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared the bride we're doing for. And each of us going to be judged. The books are going to be opened, and we're going to be judged out of the books. Yes or no? I'm just trying to get this right. Now, hang on, Ray. If the dead are there, where have they been? If now all of a sudden they've been resurrected to be judged. So, understand this. Friends, there is no time outside this realm. There's no time outside this realm. So when you and I die, I don't think my mom and dad are in heaven. I think they're with the Lord. I think they're asleep with the presence of the Lord outside of time. And at the great resurrection, the great white throne judgment, phew, everybody wakes. Then we, anybody want to, I'm going to shut up a minute. Do you think that when you die, you go to heaven? If you die and go to heaven, then why do they bring you back to the white throne judgment? It says the great and dead. They're all standing there. Somebody help me out here. I'm confused. My whole life they've told me to die and go to heaven. Lazarus didn't. Jesus said he's asleep. Hey, Lazarus, come forth. Come on out of there, bud. Because outside this realm, there is no time. It's hard for us to get. And second, is 1,000 years to the Lord. So you could be dead outside this realm and be asleep. All right, somebody come on. Come on, come on, come on. I'm not going to say, I can show you more evidence. I can, stay asleep. It's crucial. Here it is. Jesus speaking about his friend Lazarus said, our friend Lazarus sleeps. But I go that I may wake him up. His disciples misunderstood and thought Jesus meant Lazarus was resting. So they said, no. Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Here Jesus uses the metaphor of sleep to describe Lazarus' death, reinforcing the idea that death is temporary state. Death is a temporary state outside the time of realm, the realm of time, outside that realm. Not making sense. Go ahead, Ray, quickly. Man, we only got 6 minutes.
Okay, real quick. I'm kind of thinking it in this realm too. Like, if you get into surgery and they give you the anesthesia. One minute you're looking at the doctor's face. The next time you look at him, you have no concept of how much time went by. It could have been a minute. It could have been an hour. It could have been hours.
Did you sleep last night for 8 hours?
Yeah.
What happened with that? Did you know those 8 hours had passed? Or did you just wake up, say it's time to get up, stay to sleep? You're outside the realm, outside this realm. Your illustration's good, Ray. It's good. Randy, what do you think?
So does the animal have a spirit or does it have a soul?
It has a spirit, but I don't believe it has a soul.
I disagree. I'll tell you why I say it's a soul, Coach, because he made the animals, and we were an animal until he breathed into us the breath, the spirit. The animals have a brain, they have emotions, they have a mind, will, and emotions. So that's their soul. So I was taught my whole life too, Coach, that they have a spirit. I disagree with that now because I understand the spirit man steps out of your body when you die. The body, James says, the body is dead without the spirit. So I don't think I was always taught that too, Coach. I just don't agree with that anymore. Yeah. But so I'll say this, Coach, in Book of Revelation, chapter 21, when it talks about we're in the new heaven. Well, guess what? That tree of life there is producing fruit every month. Is that are we still in time, Coach? Yes, we are. We're not outside of time. So is that up in the third heaven or is that here now? See, that's a big question.
Randy, let me hammer this real quick. Hang on, Joe. I'll get you in here. Over here on the screen. Psalm is the First Thessalonians, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Lest your sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. 1 Corinthians says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Job says, man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last. And where is he? So man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more, and they will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. Oh, I could do a whole show on this. Does this change? Does this bother your theology? It doesn't bother me. When my mom and dad are, you mean they aren't looking down on me? You mean to tell me they're asleep? They're not aware of the passage of time. There's no time outside of this realm. The sun brings the time. Ain't no time. They're sleeping. And help me out. That's the right clone judgment. I don't know. I'm asking. Revelation 21:8. Don't they all show up again? Where have they been? Might have been asleep. Great getting up morning. Isn't that what they call it? Joe Carrico, go quickly. We got 3 minutes to get two of them in here. Go, Britt. Go, Joe.
Coach, I think before Christ died and was resurrected, Lazarus, when he was raised, was in Abraham's bosom. But now, our consciousness, I believe, since God is outside of time, as you so correctly stated, technically the dead are dead, but when you cross over, you don't see, you don't feel that part because there's no consciousness in it. And you come over to where outside of time, there's a death and a life at the same time.
Joe, here's a better question. Hey, Joe, where'd you come from? Where did you come from?
Well, God knew us before we came down here. I believe
that's what it says, right? He knew us. He knew us.
Terry Lynn and I have discussions like this since she's had visions of the before time.
Brett, let Brett get in here quickly. Come on, Brett. He didn't be
good morning, Coach.
In the womb, he knew me.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, team. Good morning. So, I think it was a special, very special situation there. So you have Jesus as God on Earth. I think he could pull that spirit right back from heaven and put it back into Lazarus and bring him back to life.
Good point.
I mean, we're talking God here, you know, and he was out to prove a point to all the disciples that this can be done. So you can't back up any of this with the Bible, as far as I know. But it does say, you know, absent from the body and with him immediately.
So how we have to understand this? The Bible never corrects itself. It just exposes other things we haven't considered, right? Because why? It's a mystery. Have a great weekend.